Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need fun.
That's what I want.
Welcome back to 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, the thirdingredient.com. Scott Arno is our guest. He's our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, information security expert, CISSP, one of only 100 of those in the galaxy. And we've checked that out, folks. That's official. And he's our good friend. Scott, thanks again for being here. Scott's helping us with our cybersecurity stuff, folks, and he has been now for some time. Scott, there's a data security breach report that Verizon puts out periodically, and you've got that in front of you to talk to us about. Why do we need to know about this report?
Well, this is a Verizon Enterprises Data Breach Investigations report. It's an annual report they've been putting out for about 12 years now. And what makes this one unusual is it's not directed at people who need to already understand the technology. It's written in plain English. There are lots of graphics and graphs and stuff to make sure that people can actually follow it. And mm-hmm. It's become very, very popular within the industry. It's also free. You can just go download it. It's I think it's about 77 pages this year, so there's a lot there to look at.
Right.
Boiling it down, what would be awfully relevant to your audience is that of all the breaches they looked at this year, which is over 41,000 of them, 43% of them occurred at small businesses.
Hmm. Also, say that again.
What they looked at, 43% of all the breaches they looked at occurred at small businesses. Now, what they do is they partner with a lot of different companies.
So what would that likely be? Ransomware? Worms? Or what?
Basically, all of the above. They actually looked at ransomware as a specific threat, and they found it's still going strong. So for all malware incidents analyzed, it was the number two attack, quote-unquote, attack vector, and it was 24% of all malware attacks, which is pretty significant. Aside from that, like the number one was quote-unquote, viruses or trojans, which is basically nice-looking stuff that has a mean payload underneath the surface.
43%.
Oh, yeah. A couple of other interesting statistics from there. Needless to say, most attacks are still financially based. About 70% of them are focused on financial gain, stealing stuff.
That's either gaining access to a credit card or a bank account or ransomware, where you wind up having to give them the money.
Yeah, anything that will result in cash.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of tricks that are like one other good one. Is something called a BEC scam, or business email compromise scam, where they basically try to trick your employees who are focused on financial transactions and paying something out, like wire transfer fraud.
Like an accounts payable person or something like that.
Exactly. And they'll get an email claiming to be from the CEO or the CFO saying you have to wire this out right away.
And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what, Scott? I've been doing a lot of these interviews. As you know, I've been learning about all this stuff, sometimes almost zero day. I almost get reports on this stuff almost the day that it first comes out. And I see some of these things, and I'm not going to say I'm reaching for my mouse, but they're pretty compelling.
Well, that's the thing. They realize full well the more convincing-looking an attack is, the more likely someone is to respond to it. And there's always a reason you have to rush, and there's always a reason you can't really check. It's like, well, you know, I'm on the road right now, but we need to get this paid off by the end of the day or they're going to shut off the power. And someone goes, oh, no, okay, quick, I'll pay that out.
Right.
And lo and behold, by the time it's discovered, the cash is gone. And that's actually another thing that was in the report. They noticed that most attacks on a system usually happen within minutes or possibly hours, and yet the rates of actually detecting those attacks in the system usually took months. So that's a huge, huge discrepancy.
Yeah, so much for zero day, right? Yeah. Wow.
I mean, funny you mentioned zero day. One of the key things that people can do to defend systems is just to keep them up to date.
That's right.
Because most of the ways these things break in technologically is through stuff that's already been fixed.
It's annoying when your computer wants you to update every day, but it actually is protecting you, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's usually not the update from yesterday that's being used, but when an update comes out, they often put out information about it, basically letting people know, okay, here's what we fixed. But for an attacker, that's a roadmap of, oh, here's what most people aren't patching. You know, twist mm-hmm. your mustache and go to work, start attacking. Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Well, what can we do? What are some training? That's the most important thing, isn't it? I mean, I talk to my people as much as I can about not clicking on things. I mean, but you can't presume that they know these things, right? You got to train.
Training is definitely helpful. I mean, there are a couple of things you could do with that. Like I say, since most of these attacks go on older vulnerabilities, as they're called, if your systems are up to date, it's less likely the attacks will work in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you use something like, say, Office 365, there are settings in there where you can create sort of a separate environment to open something up if you click on it. It's called a sandbox.
Right.
So if you click on something, it opens in this separate environment, and if it's a problem, it doesn't infect the rest of the system. Just a matter of setting up Office 365 correctly. So there are definitely things you can do. One other thing that gets targeted quite a lot are email accounts that are basically based in the cloud, so not your own server in your own office,
mm-hmm.
something like a Gmail or Outlook, something like that. And one of the great things you can do to defend that is set up what's called two-factor authentication, which is instead of just the password, and you've probably seen this, where you mm-hmm. go to use the password and then it sends a little code to your phone.
Right.
There are
right.
other ways to do it, too. You can get a little, like a stick drive you stick in. It has to be sticking in the computer for you to log in.
Folks, now, the more you have to lose, and the more customers, the more corporate customers you have, the more you're going to have to get serious about cybersecurity. If you have one failure that involves one of your big customers, that could literally be an event that puts you out of business. So you just can't do it. You got to stay vigilant, folks. The good news is the knowledge is available to solve this, to prevent it, and the tools are.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.